The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know what to tell you.
And slip it in.
Slip in. Are we still talking about stuffing?
Technically, I mean, if you're stuffed now.
No, let it go. There's too many tag words there with the stuffing.
The white bread.
Okay. No. Can we just stop for a minute? Ashton, let it go. There's too many. Here are all of the
here are all of the traps we set.
You're an idiot.
Who, me or him? The guy asking.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Lots of reaction rolling in this morning, whether it's about Giannis Antetokounmpo and Montrezl Harrell and Laddergate out in Philly, or it is about your preferences on Thanksgiving. Got to give a shout out to Gary from UG. What's UG? UG.
L-Y?
UG. You ain't got it. No.
UG. Georgia?
But that's...
That usually you go UGA. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you do that.
Anyway, let's figure that
underground?
Out. Underground? Maybe. He says, stuffing is the number one side. The wetter, the better.
So we're done with that topic now, right? Like, there's no... Not kidding.
We have checked all of the boxes on the bingo card. Is that what you're trying to get?
Blackout.
Blackout because of the stuffing. So obviously, we haven't spent much time this morning talking about your Green Bay Packers. We did spend a lot of time talking about them on Friday after the loss to the Tennessee Titans. It does feel like the season is over as far as any chance to make the playoffs. I guess mathematically, there is still a chance. Much like, I guess, mathematically, there was a chance for the Badgers to win the Big Ten West headed into Saturday, which has now been eliminated based on just some of the craziness that happened on Saturday as well. So, tough going for the fans of the football teams here in Wisconsin. Let me ask you this, Chu. How do the Packers win with this version of Aaron Rodgers going forward? If this is the Aaron Rodgers that we have going forward, and I think ostensibly we can assume that there will be a continued decline just because of how old he is, just because of how long he has played, and also maybe because of the weapons that are surrounding him, do they have a chance to win if he comes back? Or is this, as you mentioned last week, potentially rebuilding?
If he does come back, I would expect them to be better next year, even though I don't think they can go crazy in free agency. I don't see them having a large chance to win the Super Bowl or go far into the playoffs. But the next year, I mean, if you look at, like I said, the Giants and some of these teams that were like horrible last year, and even though the Giants lost yesterday to Detroit, they're still a considerably much better team. 2 years from now, it's kind of up in, it's the ball's in his court, whether he wants to commit all the way for the next 2 years. I just don't.
I don't know about 2 years. I think you can get him to commit 1 year at a time. I don't know if you can get him to commit for both years.
Is that beneficial for the future of the franchise, though?
I don't think so. I mean, what do you do a quarterback? Let's say he does come back for the second year.
Yeah.
Jordan Love's gone, right?
Peace out.
So then you got to draft another guy in the first round, or you got to go spend buku dollars and get one? Or can you win with a Geno Smith or a Jimmy G and go that route?
I don't think you
can. And then bring in a coordinator that is really, really good.
I think you can win, not on the big sense, but the two guys that you have named have certainly, especially this year with Geno and in the past with Jimmy G, they've won a ton of games during the regular season. I don't think those are the guys to take you to the promised land, but I think they would be a good transitional quarterback type, you know, where you try to build up the roster, and then when you're finally ready to get that quarterback, you can try to... It's always tough, because when you're in that situation, you don't know what to do. Do you build up the roster around the quarterback and then hope to find a different one, the way that San Francisco was trying to hasn't worked out.
What would you do?
Look, there, whenever they move on from Aaron Rodgers, it's not going to be a quick rebuild because of how much money has been pushed into the future and how much dead cap space is going to have to be created with some of the veterans that would also presumably get pushed out if Rodgers were to leave. Guys like David Bakhtiari. If we say Rodgers isn't coming back next year, the dead cap space between Rodgers, Aaron Jones, and Bakhtiari is enormous. So you're just going to have that transitional year. Maybe if there's a quarterback there at 11, you take a quarterback there at 11. Because right now they have the 11th pick. But if Aaron Rodgers is coming back, you better trade that 11th pick.
But let me ask you this. If Rodgers decided he wanted to go somewhere else, whatever, and they got to make all those moves, could you go get a Lamar? I mean, what's Buffalo doing with Lamar? Because Lamar is not going to play under that. Well, not Buffalo, but it begins with a B. Yeah, so it's close. I mean, would you go out and get someone
East Coast,
like that?
Begins with a B.
AFC. Like,
I mean, can we all agree if they do pivot to a Garoppolo type or a Geno Smith that Joe Barry Carroll's not the guy?
But then why not just do it with Jordan Love? If you're going to do the Geno Smith thing, if you think that's an option,
one of those guys is good and the other isn't.
But again, the whole point is you have an average-esque guy, right, who is not, you know, nationally acclaimed by any stretch of the imagination for what he's done at the quarterback position, but he's running the offense that the coach puts in front of him, and they're having success. Like, I could make the argument that if Jordan Love runs Matt LaFleur's offense, and again, this is, you know, wild hypotheses, I'm not sure if it's true, but maybe they have some success. And that's why I would like to see that down the stretch here this season. I would like to see Aaron Rodgers relinquish the reins, give up the reins of this offense and say, you know what? We're not going anywhere. Why don't we see what the kid can do? And then let Matt LaFleur run the offense the way he wants to and just see if there's any level of success there.
Because so suddenly Rogers guys are going to start running routes better for Jordan Love versus Aaron Rodgers. Didn't we just do this 2 weeks ago when like we were actually getting sympathy from Aaron Rodgers because of all the people? I mean, Chewy watched a couple of plays. Kurt Warner had the video out there of Chewy looking at film going, what the hell are these guys doing? They're just completely lost out there. So suddenly these guys are going to start running better routes for Jordan Love?
I still think you need to see what you've got under the hood with Jordan Love.
But it's
got to
come from Rodgers.
You already know.
But I don't think so. And I think, again, if there's been incremental progress this season, even with him running scout team or whatever his responsibilities are, I think you need to know where you stand now.
Well, so can you get better with Jordan Love during the can you get better during the regular season? Because I was told during his rookie season running scout team wasn't good enough. I feel like, oh, well, that was like a redshirt year. Didn't actually have any opportunity to get better. So now he can get better during the regular season. Because, look, if Jordan Love, if they knew they had something in Jordan Love, they don't sign Aaron Rodgers to a ridiculous 3-year contract.
Yeah.
They don't. They go, hey, Aaron, we made a run at it last year. Thanks, but no thanks. And they move on. But I think they already know what they have in Jordan Love. And by the way, Davante Adams not wanting to stick around, I think is also another indictment of he knew that there's nothing there with Jordan
Love. Let me ask you this, though. Could they have gotten 4 wins with Jordan Love under center this year?
Yes.
Right now?
Yeah.
No.
What?
No.
Yes. Could have.
No.
Yes.
No.
Because a bunch of those games were like one possession games. There's a chance that Jordan Love gives you exactly the same number of wins as you have right now with Aaron Rodgers.
Nah, they're losing. They're losing. They're losing against New England. They're losing against...
No, I thought you meant 4 total with the games still to come.
Yeah, maybe 4 total.
Maybe they end up with 4 total this year. Like, there's no way of knowing if they're going to crank out any more wins. Because I guess right now, if you're looking for a silver lining, if you're looking for a victory in what has been a disastrous season, the victory would be the high draft pick. Go out there and get, like they wanted the guys to go get last year in the draft, one of the top tier players at their position, not making a reach for a guy out of the, you know, Nevadas of the world, etc., which again could still end up being a very good pick. We don't know because he's now injured, Romeo Doubs, but like go out and get one of the de facto superstars in the college football game and stick that sucker on your roster.
I'd rather go and get an actual, if Rodgers is around, you got to use that pick on an actual superstar. Go out, get yourself a tight end, go out, get yourself a wide receiver. The way that receivers were available on the market this year with Devontae,
I'm not saying what position it is, Gabe. I'm not saying it's a quarterback. I'm saying go out and get a stud just to put on this team, and that means losing games. So again, it's twofold. Maybe if you put Jordan Love out there, again, maybe to your point, he doesn't win any more games, but you get to see exactly where he is right now, not projecting where he was onto right now, and also you continue to hold or maybe even improve your draft spot.
So you want to, if you go to Aaron and go, hey bud, we're going to sit you, You just want to up the drama? Is that what you're looking for?
I'm just simply saying, don't you have a thumb injury that could use a little bit of time off? Don't you have a thumb injury that we could, you know, really, that would benefit you and the team going forward if we could actually get it healthy?
Until you're mathematically eliminated, that ain't happening.
What percentage do you need? Zero?
Literally zero.
0%.
Literally, so what zero. Is it after this week?
That's a good question.
I mean, it's got to be close to zero.
It's less than 6% now.
And
I'm trying to think of when
they would... Put it this way. If you went and said that to Aaron Rodgers, I think he'd be so offended. Like, dude, how's your thumb? It could use some time off. He'd be like, what, are you getting rid of me? You don't like me anymore?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You don't
think so? More of an indictment of Rodgers than anything else? Because isn't the medical staff supposed to kind of protect players from themselves when they keep trotting themselves out there even though they're underperforming?
Yeah, but that's not a conversation with the training staff. Like, you're gonna send
Doc McKenzie
in there?
Make the head coach have the difficult conversation
that's
with
what I'm saying.
Quarterback.
So if he goes in there, then Rodgers going, oh, what are you telling me?
Yeah. Telling you that your thumb has been banged up. You haven't been throwing the ball like you used to. We believe that it is at least in part because of the thumb. Let's get the thumb healthy.
Yeah, it ain't happening.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Why isn't it happening?
Because if you go to Aaron Rodgers, like, they don't want to cause more drama. Like, this is already going to be enough drama. You go to him, and this is, again, the bed that you made. This is the bed that you decided that you wanted to be in. So now this is what you got to deal with.
If you just look at this team next year, it's going to be such a... I mean, take worst-case scenario, right? And if I'm Aaron Jones, they have to rework his deal or he's gone, right?
Correct.
I would be gone.
Yep.
You get more guaranteed money, still a great player, still going to get paid, right? So he could be gone. A.J. Dillon is not a feature back. So you have a hole there. Randall Cobb could retire. We stink. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. Alan Lazard could be delusional again, wants too much money. He's gone. Tonyan? You want him back?
Nope.
I mean, Mercedes has to retire one of these years, right?
I mean,
any guarantees that it's this one?
Sammy Watkins gone, right?
Thank God.
So, what does that leave you with?
Three rookie wide receivers.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of holes on this franchise. Yeah.
So I just don't know. I that's why I'm leaning towards this thinking is going to be.
And the pressure's on Gutekunst. The pressure's on that front office, the decision makers, the scouts, to figure out where talent actually lies, not where talent hopefully lies. Because that's the issue with the 2021 draft. Unfortunately, they missed on a lot of guys. Guys that you needed to be performing on this team right now.
Yeah. Yeah, with no guarantees in the future. You know, there are none. I mean, Watson's had... He's been trending up,
yep.
But he still hasn't had the Treylon Burks 7 for 111.
No.
He's had a 3-touchdown game. I still haven't seen him. Very rarely does he make the tough catch on an in route or something like that. We know he can breadbasket catch, right?
Yep.
On long balls where he's got a gap.
There it is.
Long balls. Long
Christian
balls.
Christian Watson?
And moist stuffing.
Oh, the wetter, the better.
We only have to work 3 days this week, Gabe.
Yeah, I understand.
So we have to get it all in.
There's not a quota.
Did you hear what you just said?
We have to get it all in.
Talking about stuffing.
800-990-3776. Let's get out to Ron in the Key. Ron, you are on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. You have some thoughts, huh?
Yeah. First of all, up is down, black is white. Dario is right on Twitter, and Jen is wrong on everything today. The world is not a safe place. Giannis was wrong. Everything can be right. He can be provoked. It's what's from his mind. Somebody could be a perfectly rational, normal human being and call into a sports radio talk show host way too often. Yeah, both these things can be true.
Can they, though, Ron?
And Ron,
can they?
You're a bad example. I think you're using yourself.
Yes. I didn't say me. I said someone. And as far as Aaron Rodgers, hey, Aaron, we're looking out for you. Isn't your thumb, you know, can she use some rest? Hey, crazy, jealous, significant other, I don't think you're feeling good. You should stay home while me and other people go out to the bar. That's the kind of conversation that would be like. Have a good day. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys and your family.
I think Ron thinks a lot like me. It's just kind of like...
Is that a good thing?
I was going to say, wow.
Who is that worse for?
Yeah,
is that worse for Chewy or Ron?
Are you complimenting Ron? Are you taking him out this Thanksgiving week?
Did you want to put him through, Ashy?
Yeah, I feel like I owe him a little bit right now.
Okay.
Help me get a car.
We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. If Jordan Love was the starting quarterback this season, would the Packers have the same record through 11 games? Same record, worse record, better record. Go ahead and weigh in on that. We also asked you, should Giannis be getting more blame in the latter gate? Let us know on that one. 800-990-3776 if you want to get your comments and reaction heard here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We are going to take a break. We'll continue this conversation because, guys, I have a list in front of me of the 10 reasons for the Packers' disastrous 2022 performance. Only 10, huh? Just 10? Feels like it could have gotten a lot longer, but I have 10 reasons here.
Making edits to that list.
We are going to power rank those right after this.
You know what makes me happy? My wife being happy. That's why I go to the jewelry center. Let's be honest, most guys don't have a clue. When it comes to buying jewelry, Gabe's one of the smart ones. Got his engagement ring and the wedding bands from the jewelry center this year. They also do in-house repairs for watches and other fine jewelry like my championship ring. When it needs work, I know where I'll be taking it to the jewelry center. They've got 3 locations to stop into: Greenfield, Brookfield, and Burlington. And if my wife can't tag along, she can look through all the many styles and other fine cuts online at shoptjc.com. I'm living proof. Happy wife, happy life. The Jewelry Center will make it happen in Brookfield, Greenfield, or Burlington, and online at shoptjc.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's the crab bucket theory.
Crab bucket theory.
Oh, my God.
Why are you, Chewy was right. Holy Chewy was right.
What?
It's totally true.
It's called the crab mentality, but every other word he said is correct.
On 94.5 ESPN.
On ESPN Milwaukee, talking about all the things this morning. It's Giannis and Montrezl Harrell, and we've been talking about how it's National Stuffing Day as we get ready for Thanksgiving later on this week. And I saw this list of the top 10 reasons. Sounds like something from the David Letterman show. The top 10 reasons that the Green Bay Packers stink this year. And what we are going to do is we are going to power rank those reasons. Would you believe that I lost the article? Would that just be absolute par for the course here Jen, Gabe, and Chewy?
I've seen how many tabs you keep open on your laptop. Yeah, this seems like it would be par for the course.
Thank you for helping me fill that gap. I did find the list.
Just had to click through all the tabs.
Exactly. All right, so here's what they have written down. And these are not ranked, so we are going to rank these, right? So Chewy, I'm just giving you the candidates if you want to jot these down.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers. A.J. Dillon. Kenny Clark.
Oh, so these are just players?
Well, these are reasons. There's a few more that are Devondre Campbell, Eric Stokes, the 2021 NFL draft, which I mentioned a few moments ago. They just didn't hit on enough guys in that draft. Rich Bisaccia's special teams, Matt LaFleur and his coaching staff. You were talking about a coverall before, Gabe. They're basically just playing coverall with the reasons that the Packers have stunk in 2022. How many was that?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Scrolling.
Did you lose it again?
No, I mean that's all I have. I don't see anything.
Goody
else
in there anywhere?
I saw the 2021 draft. I didn't see
interior
that.
Interior offensive line was on the list.
Okay, and what else? Which other one did I miss? Interior offensive line was on the list. You're right. Kenny Clark was on the list. Eric Stokes was on the list. Devondre Campbell was on the list. We mentioned all of those. 2021 NFL draft was on the list. All right, Chew. So of the ones that we have mentioned, I don't know what the other one was. I'm scrolling through again. Matt LaFleur and his coaching staff. It's not as easy. It's not like it's listed. You know, you're scrolling through the article. Each one has a little bit of a descriptor there. Which ones jump out at you the most? Gabe, you've got the list there in front of you.
Well, you said we only have 9?
I've only got 9 in front of me, yeah.
I'm going to add one, and it's my number one, Goody. The receiver room was a disaster from the start. This whole idea that now Aaron Rodgers can cover up all blemishes, we know is false, right? So my number one would be Goody. He's responsible for this roster that was put together, where we all drank the Kool-Aid and thought they were going to be a serious Super Bowl contender. Fair enough?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's really fair. Because, again, that 21 draft class comes down to him. Devondre Campbell and deciding to extend him with the contract you decided to give him. Maybe you felt like you didn't have an option after you found him last year. Same thing with Rasul Douglas. Those guys just haven't played. Turns out that was the standout. Like, that was the exception to what these guys' careers have been. That they're maybe not, you know, Campbell's not a guy that's going to be an all-pro for you perennially in the middle of that defense.
Number two would be LaFleur and his staff. Ever since I saw that film that Warner broke down, coaching points are just awful. There's no attention to detail. You can throw Rodgers' play in there as well.
But Rodgers' play is more on him than on the coaching, right? You're not sitting here saying that like the coaches are responsible for Rodgers.
But I was telling you guys, his just mechanics are just, I don't know whether you get old and you get lazy or it looks, you know how you get these 8 and 10 year old boys playing basketball and all of a sudden they want to look like, you know, whoever, their favorite college player, and they lose the mechanics of, that's kind of like Rodgers, you know? Yeah, sure. When they show that end zone view and he's side-arded and won the to Cobb and it's beautiful, yeah, that looks great. But when you're doing that all the time and you're missing throws because your mechanics suck, I put that on the coach. It's almost like, well, we can't yell at him. How do we do this where he thinks we're not taking a shot or making, you know, being critical of him.
So okay, is that,
they created this whole
thing. How can you be so fragile in that position, though? You have to be able to take coaching, right? Even if you are a 4-time MVP future Hall of Famer. The reason you have staffs, the reason that quote-unquote Tom Clemens came back was because Roger said he had his best career numbers and best years under him. Isn't the idea of putting people around you who hold you accountable and make you better?
Tom Clemens was retired, right?
Yeah.
So Rogers pulled him out. Is he comfortable lobbing any criticism towards the guy who got him back in the NFL?
I think they're all afraid of him. No?
Oh, no. Listen, you're not going to hear me disagree with that. Again, Gabe mentioned it earlier. This is the scenario that they've created. This is the scenario they stepped in. And unfortunately, when you decided to bring Aaron Rodgers back into the fold, you were acquiescing, signing on the dotted line for all of the things that that entails. And maybe that is. You can, don't be too critical. Don't say, you know, don't say the things, you know, the elephant in the room. Hey, buddy, you're underperforming. Let's figure out why. Maybe it's the thumb. If it is the thumb, maybe we should let you heal the thumb, rest the thumb.
And that's where I would start with the players at 3. Rodgers at 3.
Yeah, because like,
dude, you're making $50 million a year. I mean, you got to be better.
AJ Dillon on this list like just doesn't make sense for me. Has AJ Dillon been disappointing? Certainly. Do I think that A.J. Dillon's a big reason why this team stinks in 4-7? Absolutely not.
No, but that, you know, early in the year I said there's got to be C players that play like B players and B players that play like A players. He's a B player playing like a C player. Once you start going the other way with that, it's not good.
What about the interior offensive line? Because we mentioned that. It was one that we jumped over at the beginning. But there is something to be said for, as the offensive line goes, often that's how the team goes.
Yes, I would agree, but there's a part of that, too, where Stinovich, they move him the offensive coordinator. You can't designate too much time to that offensive line, and for whatever reason, under this coaching, they decline.
But similarly,
this was never a problem before, though, right? I mean, it was always like, guys are hurt. They'll figure it out.
So what's the hierarchy of determining where some of these guys can play? Because you've got some versatile players. Like, it seemed like Yosh Nijman was only a left tackle.
Yes.
And then he moves to right because they wanted to put Elgton Jenkins out there. But now Jenkins is playing left guard. Ultimately, is it the position coach's call who is at what position on that offensive line?
Yes. And it's a lot of it's based on body type. But we can see that sometimes body type just doesn't apply because if, and I'm my guy, I love him. Zach Tom got his jersey coming for Christmas, I hope. But I mean, he's a short, squatty. He does not look like a left tackle, but then you go throw him at left tackle and he's like a scrapper and is like, okay. And then Yosh, these past couple weeks, like everyone's like, and even myself included, like, he doesn't have the body of a right tackle. Well, you know what? He's not bad.
Is it asking too much, though, to ask a guy to go from one side of the line to the other side of the line? Because, again, we've heard that very famous line from Josh Sitton, which, again, put it on a T-shirt, but it's like wiping your butt with the other hand.
Yes.
Like, you can do it, but flipping is difficult. Is it asking too much, or are we at the place in the NFL where teams are not devoting as many resources to the offensive line, perhaps as they once did, and therefore they need that versatility from guys at positions to be able to play on both sides of the line?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Now, to go from right tackle to left tackle is big. It's just different. Your footwork, you're on an island, and on the left side, you have to be very technically sound. And then you mix. See, I never did it. They gave me the option, but you know how the right-handed, right guard, right tackle got the right hand down, and then the left guard, left tackle have their left hand down?
Is this the hokey pokey?
I mean, that sounds Twister? Like easy, but it's a pain in the ass. I never did it. I'm like, I'm playing with my right hand down. I'm fine. But I've said, for me to run block, I'm much better on the right than I am the left. It's like doing a layup.
Okay.
Does your left-handed layup look like a Gunnard? A
little bit.
Yeah. It's the same thing, you know? Jen, cheers to the left. Can't be as hard as to the right.
Cheering is famously pretty...
ambidextrous.
Amphibious.
Well, amphibious, yes. No, I was going to say symmetrical.
Yeah.
Famously. Mostly symmetrical. Gabe, what is your ranking on that?
I have a hard time disagreeing with Chewy. Like, to me, again, like, because you've got Kenny Clark on here, you've got Eric Stokes on here, Rich Pisaccia.
Right? You're throwing away the Kenny Clark.
To me, it's three. It's Goody, it's LaFleur and his staff, and it's Rodgers. And it's in that order. Like, this roster took some gambles that didn't work out for Goody. LaFleur, because of some of the things that the front office decided to do in terms of moving on from MVS and Davante Adams. And okay, so now it's on you and your staff to get these guys ready. They haven't done that, and Aaron Rodgers played like Dew.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple.
Is Dew worse than Doo-Doo because you're only giving him the one Dew?
Correct. Mm. Be an insult to Doo-Doo.
You don't even deserve Doo-Doo. Okay, you played like Dew this year. Just the Dew.
I mean, you would put Campbell under Goody, right?
Yeah.
You brought him back. But, you paid him a ton.
I mean, I kind of felt like he was hamstrung. I mean, I guess you could have just decided to let him go and go, you know what? I think we got the best. Maybe that's something that Ron would have done. Like, oh, I think we got the best year out of him. Going to let him walk.
It's just all pay. I'm still in the camp. You don't pay linebackers. You just don't pay him. You play corners and you pay a D-line. I would love to see a stud D-line and give up some of those, you know, your Campbells and guys like that. You know? I mean, you see the teams. The teams that are successful is the teams that can rush four.
Yep.
And create pressure and get to the quarterback. And it makes everything so easy because you only have to play a handful of coverages then. You know, because you're not blitzing.
My thought is they thought they maybe had three out of the four there with Kenny, Rashawn Gary, who's obviously now hurt.
Yeah.
And Preston Smith. And they tried to do that with Devontae Wyatt, thinking he could be that fourth guy in nickel situations and dime situations when you can rush just four and he hasn't panned out. Neither has Jerron Reed, really their only free agent pickup.
It does feel like at position by position on the defensive side of the ball, they've all underperformed.
I can't really
think of one guy who has exceeded expectations this year. Maybe you throw Jair in there, but even he's had some stinkers.
Rudy Ford.
There you go. Might be the only guy. You going to get a Rudy Ford jersey to go along with your Zach Tom jersey, Chew?
He's got to do a little more.
Plus, I mean, one's 20, one's 50. I mean, maybe we can get a 20 on the front, 50 on the back.
I guess.
Okay. All right.
It's more of a body type. I look more at the body.
No, we'll keep it with just the Zach Tom.
Amphibious.
I tried to convince him.
Yeah. No, there wasn't a lot of excitement there from that reaction. There is excitement, though, when I talk about my friends over at Great Midwest Bank, because Great Midwest Bank cares deeply about providing every possible loan option to their local Wisconsin community. As a community bank, guys, they have the power to offer flexible loans that bigger banks just cannot. Portfolio loans may be an option for borrowers with certain financial circumstances where other loan products may not be the best fit for them. Vice President and Loan Officer Melissa Zavadil at GMB's Brookfield branch, she says every loan is different. So in a sense, every day for us is different. I like problem solving to try and find the best solution, the best product for each of my customers. That's exactly what you want when you deal with a bank, right? You don't want to go to this place where it's one size fits all, cookie cutter portfolio loans. You want to know that what you're getting is specific to you and your needs and your dreams. If it's time for you to find the right loan for your needs, then you need to head over to my friends over at Great Midwest Bank. Visit greatmidwestbank.com, greatmidwestbank.com, to see which loan product is right for you, and rest assured that the great staff over at Great Midwest Bank is going to find it for you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And one story only when it comes to Green Bay Packers training camp, and Gabe, that one is...
The green days of our life. Gosh darn it.
Green bays of our life.
Because you messed it up so bad.
You know, I panicked. I didn't know she was coming to me, and I just straight up panicked.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It's Discount Liquor Thanksgiving week, and we want to know, what are you bringing to the table? Head to Discount Liquor and you'll be set. With over 14,000 varieties of beer, liquor, and wine in stock, Discount Liquor has unmatched selection with the lowest prices in town and a staff that's always ready to help with recommendations. And that staff, incredibly helpful. If you've ever been to Discount Liquor, again, it can be overwhelming with all the options. Locally and family owned for 62 years, Discount Liquor can help turn your Thanksgiving meal into a celebration. 51st Oklahoma in Milwaukee, downtown Waukesha on the corner of Barstow and Main. Discount Liquor wishes you a happy Thanksgiving.
You know, I walk into our production meeting this morning, and when I got Captain America sitting to my right over here, nobody could hear your salute.
Figured somebody would tell him.
What do you mean?
Gabe Neitzel is decked out in the red, white, and blue. The blue vest, the red shirt. I assume the white is your skin.
Very white.
It's winter, yes.
The Stars Very and German. Stripes hat. Is that a Ryder Cup hat?
It's a Ryder
hat
Cup hat, yeah. Ryder
I
Cup
can
hat.
Only assume that it's not that you got your holidays confused and that you think it is the 4th of July instead of Thanksgiving week, but it is, in fact, you're jazzed up about the World Cup.
So Ashton's got me excited for it. Like, he's Mr. USA. He's got his USA hat on over there. I don't know anything about this team. I just know that they play this afternoon. So, you know, got to support the team. First time in 8 years that they actually, you know, because they sucked four years ago. You know, talk about the Packers sucking. I mean, Team USA not even making the World Cup.
They've
Ashton,
got,
that was
they've got no shot, though, right, Ashton?
I disagree. You know what? This is a great time to introduce a brand new segment. It's time for Ashy's World Cup Date. Who's excited?
Oh, a cup date.
I kind of like the music.
Thank you. This is the official FIFA theme for Qatar 2022.
Is this the only thing they've nailed with Qatar?
Pretty much. Now, we could talk about how Qatar all of a sudden said that they were going to sell alcohol in designated fan zones. And then yesterday, before the tournament started, literally a mere hours before the tournament started, the Qatar said, nah, we're not going to do that unless you are a corporate sponsor who paid for said alcohol. Then you can drink. No one else can do that. We're not going to talk about that. We are going to talk about, however, how Qatar became the first ever host country to lose the opening match. They lost 2-0. Sorry, 2-0. I want to get everyone into soccer terminology as we do this for these minute-long updates.
Did you say 2-0?
2-0. No, I said 2-0.
I thought it was another euphemism.
No, NIL. 1-0. Which is a different one. Twice.
Well, it's a good night if you get 2-0.
Enner Valencia scored twice for Ecuador. He scored the last 5 goals in World Cup play for Ecuador. Nobody cares about that. They're never going to need to know his name. However, Team USA plays today. They have the youngest roster in the World Cup. They have their captain, Tyler Adams. He's 23. The other name that anyone might know is Christian Pulisic. He plays for Chelsea. He's American. He's from Pennsylvania. He's the big. They got a bunch of wonderkins on this team. They're plus 1,500 to win the World Cup. That's a great bet, I think, if you make.
And then give me Italy, and then give me
Italy's good.
France.
Germany, France, Brazil, Netherlands.
What are their odds?
Argentina. Well, I didn't know I was going to do this segment yet, so I don't have those in front of me.
Well, I just want to know how far a reach it is for them.
Those are all favorites. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah, those teams are all favorites.
All right.
You're not into it?
I want to listen. All of that stuff was really good information. For one, you told me how to pronounce you told me how to pronounce that dude's name that I never know how to pronounce. How do you say it again?
Enner Valencia, Christian Pulisic.
Pulisic,
yeah.
Pulisic. Why are we going past the Budweiser thing? Why are we going past the beer thing? This is news to me. This Budweiser has figured out a workaround?
Well, no, Budweiser technically has not figured out a workaround. They thought they figured out a workaround. However, Qatar said, actually, we are not going to do this because in Qatar, for anyone that doesn't know, it is a crime to be publicly intoxicated. And also, it's very frowned upon, let's just say, to drink in public at all. So they are not selling beverages in the actual stadiums in Qatar. They've decided to make designated fan zones where fans can go and drink.
And then Qatar was like, just kidding, we're not going to do that anymore because we've already got the World Cup. Sepp Blatter, the head of FIFA, he's already corrupted everything enough. So it's fine. We're going to change the rules, except for if you are part of Budweiser and paid for this. Then they're like, all right, that's fine. You can drink since you paid for it, essentially.
So who does that entail? Like, who is Budweiser? Is it like
it's whatever,
60 like corporate people?
Basically, that's literally what the rule is now, is that if you were a corporate sponsor
that's
at
insane.
The event.
I mean, I read something like Budweiser spent $7 million to be the official beer of the FIFA World Cup, and now they can't even sell alcohol. Like, what's the point of that endorsement? I mean, you could argue, well, again, that all publicity is good publicity type of thing, and people are talking about Budweiser maybe more now than they would be without the ban chew. But if you're Budweiser, how are you not hacked off?
Well, Budweiser, number one, should have watched the documentary on FIFA because they are the biggest thieves in the world. And that's the reason why a place like Qatar or Qatar. How do you say it, number one?
I've heard both. I say Qatar because that's what they're saying on the broadcast yesterday when I was watching.
I mean, anyone seen the documentary?
I have not. I have heard.
It's unbelievable.
I've heard how funny it is.
It's kind of funny.
You know what else is funny?
What?
Me misreading the amount of money that Budweiser spent. It wasn't $7 million. $7
million. How much?
$75
million. 75?
75
American?
Million
in this economy?
Dollars for the sponsorship deal.
Oops.
Whoa.
Oh, now you're feeling
now
a little bad for Budweiser, aren't you?
I was about to say, $7 million, they can just write that off.
Yeah, it's just a write-off.
Do you think that there will be a point where they change their minds once again and go back to being like, okay, no. We've heard the outrage.
Why would they?
I agree. I'm just curious. Yeah, you think they conversation.
You think they care about the you think they care about the outrage? They did this because they knew exactly what they were doing. Oh, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll do it. Yeah. Actually, we're not going to do
there
it.
There are like memes and political cartoons and whatnot that show the soccer players playing on the field. And underneath, there are all of these bodies of human beings. Because again, when they decided to do this, that wasn't covered in the documentary, like the basically quote unquote slave labor that they used to build these arenas and to build the infrastructure in order to support the World Cup.
Here's the thing. I'm going to say this and whisper, everyone. It's really bad that this is happening in Qatar.
Yes.
And a guy from the Qatari government, part of FIFA, spent an hour last week at the opening ceremonies going on this monologue about how hypocritical the Western civilization essentially is being. Towards this, and yet nobody seems to care just in general that it still happened. And Sepp Blatter, the head of FIFA, was like, maybe we shouldn't have done this. Yeah, bro, you think so?
But when you talk about corruption in sport, which, you know, you hear every once in a while, there'll be a scandal. You know, the Washington Commanders feel like they've been the buzz team lately, where it's like, whoa, how do you even exist in this chaos and in this hostile work environment that you've created? You hear about it sometimes, the underbelly of college football, and maybe that was before NIL, but I still think there are people who think that that is in a corrupt space. There is no more corrupt space in the sports world than what FIFA does when they do these World Cups and when they align themselves with countries and they take all of the money. And I assume, Chu, having not seen the documentary that you watched, I assume that was a big part of the storyline.
I kind of did cliff notes, so I didn't listen, and I just forwarded a lot because it's a little boring. Ashy, could you help me out?
No, it's funny. Wait, this is funnier.
This is just how he operates.
What percentage?
He clearly just wishes he could fast forward part of this show. He only listens a little bit, gets bored at times, wishes he could hit the fast forward button.
Just full disclosure, what percentage of the doc did you watch?
How many parts are there?
Well, technically, I think you watched 100% of it. But
I just watched the first one like twice. I don't know why.
USA.
Well, you kind of know
USA.
Why.
USA.
You kind of know why, because I think I started it Friday like around 9 o'clock.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you weren't going to retain any of that. Yeah, that's right.
And I didn't.
Well, listen, I go to you thinking that you're an expert in the space because you watched this documentary.
That's
you
your fault.
All
yeah, that's
homework.
On you.
That's on you.
So anyways, Team USA plays today at 1 o'clock on Fox against Wales. Go Team USA.
Go Team USA.
Going to chew on anything that's not football and expecting him to be somehow some expert in that area.
He literally told us in the production meeting that he watched the documentary.
You know what that means.
It means Ashton watched it.
Well,
I just sent you
a Cliff's Notes summary GIF. Is that what it was like? It's
sorry.
All bad. It does feel to me, guys, like this is the ultimate rope-a-dope. Again, aside from all of the chaos and obviously controversy surrounding the World Cup, I cannot believe that Budweiser somehow shelled.
Take two.
Shelled out $75 million, and now they cannot sell alcohol at all. Like, this feels to me like the ultimate rope-a-dope.
But they're still the official beer of the World Cup.
What does that even mean?
It means when I drank my several Bud Heavies yesterday, they said freedom on the can, and I was like, sounds good enough to me. That's
I love
a true
that.
Story.
So then I saw that there are people who are now taking sleeves, plastic sleeves, vinyl sleeves, and they're putting them over their beer cans.
Yeah, high schoolers do that.
Where do you even buy beer in Qatar?
Well, you just figure it out.
Well, they've got different. I thought they weren't selling in the stadium, but they've got a couple like.
Well, the whole point was they were going to have designated fan zones, but they've nixed those as well.
Well, I thought they had those like, but they were super far away from the stadium.
That's the newest thing is the nearest one, I believe, is 6 hours away.
What?
Yeah.
Come on. Wow.
None of this should be shocking if you follow at all how FIFA and Qatar have operated over the last 4 years.
I know, but and yet every detail is surprising. 75 million, 6 hours away. What about the people who are now going to risk their lives to drink at these games?
Is it really worth that one beer?
No, it certainly is not. Maybe you don't get thrown into a Qatarian prison.
That would be a bad thing to
for
happen.
Enjoying an IPA. Anyway, go USA. Go Team USA.
I don't have a read in front of me, Ashton. I don't know what you want from me.
You don't have another read?
No.
Does Jen have a read?
I have a read.
Oh, do
Budweiser?
Gabe, you sure you don't have a read left?
Look, I you gave me 3 sheets of paper this morning. I've done 3 reads.
Hey, don't go Giannis on them. It's all right.
Don't make me go get a ladder.
All right, that one's on me. Go ahead, Jen.
Consider Professional Construction Inc. in Waukesha for all of your construction needs, whether it's a commercial project like a multifamily or an office, or maybe you are looking help on a remodeling project, home addition, or building a new home. The PCI team is here for you. I am so excited, guys. As soon as we get past Thanksgiving, the PCI team, Mike and Michelle, they're coming over to our house. We are going to renovate our basement. This is very exciting. We have a ton of storage in our basement. We have a little part of it that is finished. We've got the television over there, a couple of couches, some, you know, family pictures and whatnot on the walls. And then on the other side, completely unfinished. The girls have a table that we have set up there where they do arts and crafts, but we'd really like for it to be finished so that we can entertain down there. So when Chase has some of his buddies over and they want to play video games, they can have the whole basement to enjoy and frolic. And that's why we are bringing Mike and Michelle and the PCI team over to our house to get this thing done. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships and giving back to the community, and it is a huge reason why. They are the only team that we trust to give us the basement of our dreams, and they can do the same for you. You want to contact PCI? It is very simple. Just go to their website, professionalconstructioninc.com. Professionalconstructioninc.com will show you all of the things they have done and give you ideas of what they can do for you. Mike and Michelle, they're the best. That's why we're using them for our basement, and you should use them for whatever your remodeling project is as well.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I wonder if he goes...
If you lie, but cough right after the lie, yeah. Is it really a lie? Because now we all know you're lying.
That's a tell, you know?
Bad poker.
Probably not a good
card. Do you have a tell?
Player.
Do you have a tell, like, when you're lying?
Yeah, I'm talking.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
We asked you on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account, should Giannis be getting more blame for his role in Laddergate? And 84% of respondents are saying no. He does not deserve more blame.
Not more, but some. Right?
But do you think he's gotten any blame? I mean, outside of Philadelphia, do you think there are people out there? I mean, Gabe, you obviously have taken the stance of like he should have handled it differently.
Yeah, 100%.
You cannot move, push, shove a ladder. You know, and God forbid somebody got hurt. You know, like that's just
again,
that's
a why...
whole nother layer if somebody gets hurt in that situation. They did not, so I don't want to sit here and hypothesize down that choose your own adventure road, but I still think that the whole thing doesn't happen if Montrezl Harrell doesn't decide to be a clown and steal the ball and basically have a proverbial pity party temper tantrum after the game. I think Giannis should be able to go through his free throw routine, his post-game routine. And so do you think that this starts a conversation, Gabe, more universally in the NBA world of, well, what is protocol? What is, like, what do we allow? What don't we allow? Is it facility by facility? Do they each have their own rules? Like,
it
or do you
seems
think they
like,
come down and say, this is how we want to handle this going forward?
It seems like anytime something like this happens, that the NBA is very proactive in figuring out a solution going forward. I, like, if they came out with, you know, today, tomorrow, Wednesday, at some point this week, if they went, hey, here are our protocols following the game, here's what you can do, here's what you can't do, that would not be shocking to me, because Adam Silver and the Players Association, they've got a great working relationship. So, hey, here's the protocol so we don't have to deal with this again.
Wouldn't surprise me, too, if that's happening as well, right? I mean, when something like this happens, and again, I agree with you, Gabe, this should not tarnish Giannis's reputation. He has built enough equity in the space where it should be like the outlier, the anomaly, the blip. But I also think that it can spur action going forward, which is to say, when you go to a visiting arena or when you're even at a home arena, here's what we think. The players, they defer to the players. If a player wants to get some work up, it's only going to benefit the game. For the guys who you just watched play a game to come back out, fans can watch a little bit. I'm not saying mingle for an hour, hang around for an hour, but you can watch a little bit. You can see them doing a little bit more work. I think that's big, Chew.
Yeah, just open it up, say 45 minutes, and if they have to break down the arena for hockey or whatever, say, all right, our practice facility will be available for an hour. You get one hoop, you get the other hoop, grow up, and move on. Right?
When you eat Thanksgiving, Friendsgiving meals, do you completely disregard nutrition? 95% of people saying, hell yeah, I do. Give me all the carbs. Today is National Stuffing Day. Speaking of carbs, do you like stuffing? 77% of people choose saying, yeah, they do. They dig some stuffing.
Can't be dry.
No. Definitely cannot be.
I'm not going to stuffing.
Famously said.
I'm trying to blow this whole meal up.
I think that's good for today.
Ribs. Let's have some ribs for lunch.
Thanks for listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wildy and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. In case you missed it, the wetter, the better.